9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring today. Robert Half is here to help. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
It is sentencing day for former crypto king Sam Bankman-Fried, with prosecutors pushing an up to 50-year prison term. Plus, Russian troll farms linked to the late founder of the Wagner Group are alive and peddling disinformation, and we'll go inside big tech's AI talent wars.
At the beginning of a technology transition, things are changing very rapidly. You need a depth of knowledge. I spoke with someone who's with a career services platform that chatted with 6 different candidates who had job offers from OpenAI, and their median pay was $925,000.
It's Thursday, March 28th. I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal, and here is the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. U.S. officials are pledging to reopen a vital shipping lane in Baltimore blocked by this week's collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge, as federal investigators say a full report on what happened could take between 1 to 2 years to complete. According to Vice Admiral Peter Gauthier, about a dozen ships remain in Baltimore's port, and they can't get out until debris and the stricken container ship that caused the bridge collapse are removed from the disaster site. A task complicated by 56 containers carrying hazardous materials on board the container ship, some of which were breached. Officials haven't given a timetable for when the waterway might be cleared, but President Biden has said that he's planning for the federal government to pick up the entirety of rebuilding costs. Here was Maryland Democratic Senator Ben Cardin yesterday.
We are also working today on a replacement bridge so that we can also have those plans in place and have the tools and resources available so that we can reconstruct the bridge as quickly as possible. First priority, open the shipping lanes, let us replace the bridge, and we appreciate the fact that the federal government will be there every step of the way.
The former golden boy of crypto, Sam Bankman-Fried, is set to be sentenced today for crimes connected to the collapse of FTX. Last year, a jury found the 32-year-old guilty of stealing billions of dollars from the crypto exchange's customers, as well as defrauding investors and lenders to his crypto investment firm Alameda Research. Federal prosecutors say Bankman-Fried committed one of the greatest financial frauds in U.S. history and have asked the judge to sentence him to 40 to 50 years in prison. Well, despite FTX's spectacular downfall, the lawyers and advisors running its bankruptcy seriously considered reviving it at one point and spent more than half a year and millions of dollars exploring that possibility. Though in the end, a rally in crypto prices last year made it possible for FTX to cover what it owed customers, and the team steering FTX gave up on that idea. The Journal's Alexander Osipovich has more on the crypto reboot that wasn't.
It is basically kaput. The management of FTX said that none of the bidders came in with sufficient capital to justify doing a deal. And they said it would be very complex to get the deal across the finish line. And the whole effort petered out. There are some former FTX customers who are very unhappy about the fact that FTX 2.0, as they call it, did not happen. They feel like there was a giant opportunity there. It would have given them a chance to get more of their money back. And they were very disappointed that FTX decided not to pursue this.
And you can hear much more about this story on the WSJ's Tech News Briefing, wherever you get your podcasts. Now to Russia, where the Wall Street Journal is exclusively reporting that troll farms linked to Yevgeny Prigozhin are alive and continue to push disinformation months after the leader of the Wagner Group died in a plane crash. That is according to new cybersecurity research from Google's Mandiant Intelligence Unit, which, while it said it wasn't able to determine who's been running the Prigozhin-linked assets since he died, said the troll farms will likely aim to influence opinions about the war in Ukraine and the U.S. elections. Our cybersecurity and intelligence reporter Dustin Voles has more on what those efforts might look like on platforms big and small.
In the Ukraine context, they might be pushing information that are accusing the Ukrainians of war crimes or saying that their war is faltering and that Russia is going to win. Another example was they paid actors on the video app Cameo a few months ago to record videos that were misleadingly edited to suggest that the Ukrainian president Zelensky had a drug addiction problem. We also see efforts to seed fake news articles and create seemingly legitimate news websites. One of the things that is consistent with Russian disinformation are efforts to delegitimize democratic processes and stoke divisions. Certainly, the U.S. is going through some politically divisive times at the moment, but a lot of the adversaries that see that as an opportunity to achieve their broader agenda, which is to weaken the U.S. overall.
Longtime U.S. Senator and former vice presidential candidate Joe Lieberman has died at the age of 82. The moderate Democrat represented Connecticut for decades and helped to spearhead the creation of the Department of Homeland Security after September 11th. More recently, he helped to found the group No Labels, which is hoping to lay the groundwork for a centrist unity ticket in this year's presidential election. And Home Depot is making an $18 billion bet to expand beyond its iconic orange stores. The home improvement retailer said today it will buy roofing distributor SRS Distribution in a deal that should help it to grab more spending by big contractors and construction firms. The strategic shift comes as Home Depot faces declining sales in its core retail business, which had boomed earlier in the pandemic. Home Depot says it's aiming to complete the deal by the end of the fiscal year, subject to regulatory approvals. Coming up, if you've got experience engineering generative AI, Silicon Valley wants to hear from you. We'll go inside the talent war, leading tech companies to serve up million-dollar-a-year pay packages as they vie to be the next big thing in artificial intelligence after the break.
The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
In the latest sign that the AI arms race is continuing to heat up, Amazon has announced that it's invested an additional $2.75 billion in AI startup Anthropic, bringing its total investment to $4 billion, the most that it's put into another company since its founding nearly 30 years ago. And with tech giants, including Microsoft and Google, also pouring resources into AI, it's feeding a scramble for expertise that tech reporter Katie Bindley says is unusual even by the standards of Silicon Valley. Our Kate Bullivant asked her what lengths companies are going to get the right sort of workers.
Well, compensation is obviously one way to lure people. So I spoke with someone who's with a career services platform, and he said that they'd chatted with six different candidates who had job offers from OpenAI, and their median pay was $925,000. That included bonus and equity. In some cases, you know, these comp packages can be well over $1 million, depending on how desirable the candidate is, how unique their skill set is. But then, you know, it's not just comp. There's other ways that they can kind of incentivize people to want to come over to their own company. So I talked to a recruiter who said that he had a candidate that a startup really wanted to hire. And one of the things that they were able to offer him was a lot of control over the work that he was doing. So basically they told him, once you're done helping us build our first chip, then you can launch this product line of your own that you've wanted to do. So it was sort of this verbal promise that he could take on this different project when he was done. So they're coming at it from different angles. Accelerated vesting schedules is another thing.
I wanted to ask you, Katie, about the competition between all these different tech companies, from startups to bigger players like Google. Can you just describe what it's like at the moment?
I think it's a really interesting time because I spoke with one gentleman who works as a researcher in AI at Google, and he gets hit up pretty frequently by recruiters, but he finds startups like not at all attractive right now. He doesn't believe that the vast majority of startups have the funding that they need to build some of these systems. And then other people are really tempted by startups, even if they're going to have to take, you know, a pay cut. So I spoke with someone who talked about recruiting a candidate away from Microsoft. And the candidate just really firmly believed in the potential of the startup in its CEO. And so he apparently thought at some point he was going to be able to make like $40 million on his equity from the startup.
This scramble for workers that you've been describing, this isn't due to an overall shortage within the tech industry of workers. What's going on here?
Yeah, so I mean, we've seen a lot of layoffs in the tech industry over the last couple of years. Tens of thousands of workers have lost their jobs. Many workers are still looking for jobs. What we have here, though, is sort of a mismatch between supply and demand. We've got a ton of companies that are looking to hire people with PhDs and this highly specialized knowledge of being able to, say, problem solve sort of vexing issues tied to AI. That's like tier one, and there aren't that many of them out there. A lot of the people that were laid off don't actually have those skills.
So, Katie, this AI boom and companies reallocating resources, how is it reshaping the landscape for tech workers?
Right. So what you're seeing is some workers trying to upskill. The Wharton School had an executive education program in San Francisco. It was 4 days long. It was called Generative AI in Business Transformation. It was $12,000 and they had 50 spots fill up very quickly. And they're now, they're planning actually to hold the course again. So, you know, there are a lot of people who are looking to add AI skills to their resume and make their skills really relevant for right now. But one thing to remember is that not everyone in AI is making a crazy amount of money and getting some of these comp packages we were talking about earlier. That's really these like tier one people. And there's sort of a whole other cohort that has AI skills, but is not going to be demanding the kind of compensation that we were talking about before.
That was WSJ technology reporter Katie Binley. Katie, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
And finally, for those of us without the specialized skills to join that AI talent bidding war, a question on the minds of many workers lately has been whether AI is coming for our jobs. According to a recent estimate by McKinsey, tasks that represent up to 30% of all hours currently worked in the U.S. could be automated by AI by 2030. And with that in mind, our tech columnist Christopher Mim set out to see what would happen when he tried replacing himself with AI.
In my job, I used it in the initial phase, the creativity phase. It's great to have this funhouse mirror to chat with about your ideas. Plus, it knows everything that humanity has ever uncovered in all of history. In terms of research, it can be a bit dangerous because it makes stuff up, but it's great when you're asking it for help finding other resources. So it turned me on to at least one search engine I'd never heard of in all my 15 years of doing this kind of reporting. Before I did this experiment, if somebody asked me if AI was going to take our jobs, I'd say, of course not. After doing this experiment, my answer is it's definitely going to take some folks' jobs. Some of them in the future just won't get hired because somebody somewhere else in that organization is using AI to make themselves more productive in a way that that business might say, hey, we don't need that extra headcount.
And that is What's News for Thursday morning. Additional sound in this episode was from Reuters. Today's show was produced by Hattie Moyer and Kate Bullivant. Christina Rocha was our supervising producer. And I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal. We will be back tonight with a new show. And until then, thanks for listening.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.